rather lengthy portion of Scripture, and I want you to follow along with me in 1 Samuel 25. Anybody who didn't get the handout, you got your papers? Mrs. Gilmore didn't get one. Mrs. Hunsinger didn't get one. There we are. Anybody else? 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. The Bible says there, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. 1 Samuel 25. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance. That means she was a real looker. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And Dave said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And this shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand and thy servants and to thy son David. And David's young men came. And when they came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. Now get the picture. They're coming asking him for provision. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a days that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. They're giving a testimony of how David's men had protected them and the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial, then a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep, ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So David received her of her hand that which he had brought him, said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." Lord, we look at this story tonight. We know you've recorded it for us that we'd learn from it. And Lord, show us these truths and the wisdom that you have in this particular passage for us. Help us to be attentive to what you want to say to us, what you want us to understand, and what you would have us to do. Oh God, we just thank you for the opportunity to study your word and learn from your word. And we pray once again that our hearts would be receptive to the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of our lesson tonight is Dare to Listen to Wise Counsel. Dare to Listen to Wise Counsel. You know, sometimes we have a little problem with this. You know, all too often, pride gets in our way. All too often, God gives us wise counsel, and we don't want to hear it. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, sometimes this is us. Huh? We don't want to hear anything. We've got our mind made up. Don't talk to me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm going to do. I've already made up my mind. Huh? That's not how we're supposed to be. And God wants us to understand that tonight. Dare to listen to wise counsel. The Bible has a lot to say about receiving counsel and seeking counsel or advice. Proverbs says in chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." It says in Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." You know, we think about a man named Lot. Remember him? He refused the counsel of Abraham and ended up in Sodom. Hezekiah, on the other hand, was a man who accepted the counsel of Isaiah and became one of Judah's greatest kings. There were a number of times in David's life when this mighty man of God was willing to seek and receive counsel. 1 Samuel 25 is a very good example of David receiving advice, receiving counsel. And fellows, are you listening? He even took it from a woman. Why do you say that, preacher? Because sometimes we have a problem with that. Be honest. But here comes a woman and she gives David advice and he takes it and it's the best advice he could have ever had. A godsend advice. Well, let's look at what we have here and we want to notice some things about this. First of all, Nabal's provocation. Now this man is really a prime evidence, if you will, a prime specimen of people who are very unfriendly, unkind. They're really nasty, and they're prone to treat people in a wrong way. They're not nice to anybody. Have you ever met anybody like that? I have. It just seems like they live to be nasty. They don't know how to be nice. For no reason other than his own contrariness, Nabal chose to mistreat David and his men. There was no reason to treat David that way. There was no reason to be that mean and nasty. But look how he responded. You know, it's been said that life is not fair, and we should just get over it. But you know, the Bible promises blessing to those who are treated poorly for the sake of the Lord. David was treated poorly. Now, his first reaction wasn't what God would want. Here's what God would want when you're treated poorly for the sake of the Lord. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes. He said in verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which word before you." So, Jesus said, expect this kind of thing and feel that you're blessed when you take this for his sake. Not for what you've done wrong. Not for how you've offended somebody. But for the sake of Christ when people pick at you and come against you. Now we read about this man Nabal. And it says he was, I guess it's churlish. That's not a word we use very much nowadays. I really had to check on it and make sure I had the meaning of it right. And it means rude or mean-spirited, surly. And it also means miserly. I think that fit him very well. All of the above. Rude, crude, and unattractive. That's what this man was. Now, we've all met people like this, but be honest. Do you really enjoy being around them? No, we try to avoid them, don't we? If we know somebody is that way, we don't want to be around them. They're not going to have anything nice to say. They're just, you know, everything's going to be nasty and mean. But we have to remember this. Carnal people are going to have a predominantly carnal attitude. People living by the flesh are going to have a fleshly attitude, not a godly attitude. Now, it's sad, but we're often called upon to deal with difficult people. You might not believe this, but even as a pastor, sometimes I have to deal with difficult people. No. Yeah. And so do you. From time to time, we all get into those situations. We're dealing with somebody who's very difficult. And you know, we have to realize this, and I tell people this in counseling all the time. You cannot control how somebody else acts. The only person whose actions you can control is you. I tell people, hey, so-and-so might do this or say this, but you can't control that. That's out of your control. All you can do is control how you react to what they're doing. Now, they may be just like this man Nabal, very churlish or curlish, however you want to pronounce it. But that's not on us. Just like it wasn't on David. But, to be honest, David's first reaction was improper and wrong. Why? He was seeking vengeance. So we see, number one, his attitude was churlish or curlish. And then number two, his actions were contemptuous. He had a mean spirit. And boy, he wanted to show it off. Here he is, and he's saying, I'm not willing to share what I have. This is my shepherd's food. And even though David's men are starving, I'm not doing anything to help them. Here's a man who has an abundance. He has more than enough. It would not have been any big burden to him to give David's men some of this food and get more for his men. But he just had a bad attitude about the whole thing. And we see that when he starts on David. By the way, you know what's interesting? He hadn't lost any sheep. He hadn't, nothing had happened to his shepherds the whole time David's men were there. And yet he wasn't willing to acknowledge that they had done anything for him. You know, Proverbs 3:27, we withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now, it was in his power, his hand, he should have done it. But not only did he say no, not only was he mean-spirited, but notice what he said about David. He showed contempt for David. You know, in essence, here's what he said. Who's this guy David? Now, who's this son of Jesse? Remember, all of Israel knew who David was. They knew he had been anointed to be the next king. And here's this man saying, well, who's this David that I should... He's going to be your next king. See, the women of Israel were singing the praises of David. Remember, Saul got so jealous because they said, Saul had slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And here's Nabal. He says, who's this David think he is? Why should I help this bunch of traitors? So he's treating David with disrespect. And he, really, this is a guy who you should expect better from him. Well, as I said, David's reaction wasn't what it should have been. We read how he acted just like we probably would. Do this. Well, he wants to be that way. Let me show him who David is. Get your swords, fellas. We're going to go teach Nabal a lesson. But you know, God interceded here. David had made up his mind to do something he shouldn't be doing. You know, oftentimes when we made up our mind to do something we shouldn't be doing, God will intercede. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken a man, but that which is common to man, but with every temptation God will make a way of escape. And oftentimes when we've determined to do something wrong, God will put somebody in our path. But how often do we listen? How often do we take the advice? So here's David. He's made up his mind. This is what he's going to do. And God says, it's not what you ought to be doing. God sends somebody to give him good advice. Now, Abigail, we read about. Well, let me not jump ahead just yet. I want to talk about David a little more. How he's seeking revenge. You ever think about this? What if God would allow David to go do what he was going to do? How do you think it would have affected the rest of his life? When he had to live with the fact he took revenge on somebody because they said some things about him. I think it would have had a profound effect. Had Abigail not stepped in, maybe David's life would have been altered forever. But see, Abigail did step in. You know, we need to realize that our attitudes and our actions are going to determine both our testimony and our reputation. How we react, our testimony and our reputation. A man named Royard said this, "To return good for good is human. To return evil for evil is brutal. To return evil for good is diabolical. But to return good for evil is divine." See, that's something that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we get. The ability to react in the right way. To react in a spiritual way and not a flesh way. Well, we see Nabal's provocation and we see Abigail's plea. Now we find a wise wife who intercedes for her husband and speaks up for the foolish man she's married to. She was responsive. She hurried to get involved. You know, Abigail didn't sit around and say, "Well, I wonder if I should get involved in this. Maybe I should pray about it for a couple of weeks." You know, sometimes we need to take action. I remember, I believe it was Joshua was on his face before God, and God said, "Up, you've been on your face long enough. Time to get moving." Listen, there's a time for prayer, there's a time for action. Are you with me? Now, Abigail needed to get involved here very quickly, because things were happening quickly. And she did. She hurried to get involved. She saw an emergency and she ran to meet the need. In verses 18 and verse 23, we find the Bible says she hasted. We can sense the urgency. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we need to move quickly. So, listen, sometimes we need to move fast to right a wrong. We know there's a wrong there that we need to take care of. Get it done. We need to move quickly to obey the impulses of the Holy Spirit. When He speaks to our heart, we don't need to be delaying. We need to be acting. We're to redeem the time, the Bible says. So Abigail made haste. She took quick action. Not only was she responsive to the situation, she was respectful. You see, when she came to David, you see how she came? The Bible says she fell before David on her face. And then it says she bowed herself to the ground. And then it says she fell at his feet. And then, did you notice this? She took the blame for this whole thing on herself. Did you notice that? Now, she wasn't the one that said these things, but she understood. Maybe if she'd been paying more attention and been more aware of what was going on. But she took the blame. She didn't point the finger and try to blame shift. Now, we might see it as redundancy as we read about her, how she got off the donkey, fell to the ground, advanced toward David, bowed to the ground, got closer, threw herself prostrate at his feet. But you know, in all that, we see a principle there. Humility. She came very humbly. That's what all this bowing down is all about. She didn't come demanding anything of David. She didn't come getting in his face. She came bowing down looking for mercy. Now, I would imagine, I don't know about you, but I would think when David saw how this woman came in such humility that it's touched his heart to listen to what she had to say. You know, oftentimes people don't want to hear what we have to say because of our approach. We don't come in humility. Oftentimes we come with the wrong spirit. We come in harshness. She came in humility. And it touched his heart. And it got his ear. Humble spirit. You know, the Bible says a lot about humility. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And James and Peter both say that God hates pride, but he loves humility. Luke says, for whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. You know, God promises us as believers that if we would be willing to humble ourselves, he'll reward us for our behavior, for our humility. Now, here comes Abigail, and she realized before she ever got to David that I'm coming and I'm seeking mercy. And coming seeking mercy, you must come in humility. And so she fell at his feet to a man she knew was going to be her earthly king. She bowed down before him, knowing that one day he's going to be my king. And you know, we need to bow down in humility to the one who is our king. And then notice this, she was reasonable. She knew that God was a just God. She knew that it's never God's plan to slay the innocent with the wicked. She tells David, I didn't know what was going on. She said, I didn't know that your men came and my husband treated them like that. I'm here to rectify the whole thing, to make it right. You know, she didn't come just to talk about it. She came to do something about it. Being reasonable is one thing, and backing up reasonable with action is another thing. I said she took the blame upon herself, even though she wasn't guilty. And she appealed to David's justice and his mercy. You know, those are two of the attributes of God: justice and mercy. In Isaiah, it says, 45:21, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. He's just. 2 Chronicles 20:21, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Story is told of a mother whose soldier was a son was a soldier in Napoleon Bonaparte's army. Her son had committed a very serious offense. He had been sentenced to be executed. The boy's mother, hearing about his plight, came to Napoleon begging for her son's life. She said to him, sir, I don't ask for justice, but I plead for mercy. Napoleon said, your son does not deserve mercy. And she said, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. She said, mercy is all I ask for. Napoleon thought for a minute, and then he said, well then, I will have mercy. He spared the boy's life. You see, just like Abigail came and appealed to David, we can appeal to God's justice and mercy in our time of need. We don't deserve it, but he's offered it to us. So we see she was responsive and respectful and reasonable. And then notice this, David's persuasion. I said David is a lot like us, you know, and something happens like this and our flesh reacts first. You know, we've learned that when we act in the flesh, we're going to do something wrong. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How many times have we said, oh, I got in the flesh? David's just a human being like us. Initially, he got in the flesh. He made up his mind. Nabal and his bunch have to be destroyed. It's interesting that up to this point, here's David protecting Nabal's possessions, and he wouldn't let his men take a thing from him. While they were hungry and they wouldn't even take the sheep to eat, they went and asked the man, could they have it? Now, because of this man's response, selfish, insulting, here's David, and watch this, he's being repaid evil for good. We've been there, haven't we? You ever helped somebody, done for somebody, and they stabbed you in the back? We've all been there. We've tried to help somebody and do for somebody, and they've done us wrong. But you see, God says we're to repay evil with good. Isn't that a hard saying? When somebody's done us wrong, when somebody stabbed us in the back, when somebody's hurt us, we're supposed to do them good. Boy, that goes against the flesh, doesn't it? But Jesus said in 5:44 of Matthew, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Listen, when you learn to do that, you're gonna be on your way to being spiritual. Yeah, you want to measure your spirituality? How do you handle that? Oh, we like to measure our spirituality by our little checklist. Why don't you measure it by what Jesus said here? So David's he's just determined, I'm going to go wipe them out. I'm going to get even. You ever been there? I'll show him. He don't know who he's messing with. You ever heard that? You don't know who you're messing with. Well, he's determined. But here comes this little gal. She got a whole cartload of stuff. I mean, she's got donkeys coming with all kinds of stuff on it. And she comes with a humble attitude. And all of a sudden, we find David's passion was restrained. Now, if you read about David, you'll find out he was a man of deep passion. All through his life, we can read about how he felt deeply the things that he felt. Read the Psalms. You can sense the passion of his heart. When he was happy, he was ecstatic. When he was sad, he was anguished. When he got angry, he was furious, just like he is here. Now, he could have flown into a fury and immediately went to Nabal's house. And he was on his way, but God stepped in and restrained him. And here comes Abigail. And when this woman comes, now understand this, in David's day, women weren't valued very much. They were seen much as possessions. But here comes a woman. And David listens. And instead of allowing this fury that he has within him now, he listens to her. And God uses her words to change his mind. You know, the Word of God commands us to restrain our spirits, to be slow to wrath. We're to be peacemakers. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See, when you don't have control over your spirit, there are no boundaries. Did you figure that out? Have you ever seen somebody who was in an absolute rage? There's just no boundaries to what they're liable to do. They'll break things. They'll attack people. All kinds of things. Why? There's no boundary. No control of their spirit. James says in James 1:19 and 20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You might want to underline that. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When we act in wrath, we're out of God's will. That's why Paul says, "Be ye angry and sin not." When you're that angry and in wrath, that you're out of control, you're sinning against God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I read about a Reverend Thomas Clark. He's a church leader in London in the late 1700s. It was known that this church leader, Clark, had a pleasant, natural disposition. A man came to him one day, and he asked him about this pleasant, natural disposition he was said to have. Here's what he said. "Natural disposition? Why, I am naturally as irritable as any. But when I find anger or passion or any other evil temper arise in my mind, immediately I go to my Redeemer and confess my sins. I give myself to be managed by Him. This is the way that I have taken to get the mastery of my passions." David wanted to destroy Nabal. He wanted to wipe his household out. It seemed justified because of what this man had done. But David restrained his passion so that better work could be done. And then his patience was rewarded. David's choice was to hear her out and restrain his passion. And the result was he and his men got blessed. We find that she brought to these men all that they needed. There was a loaf of bread, a half a cake of figs for every man. Fresh meat was brought for everyone. Raisins and corn. The men's needs were met with abundance. You know, so often, we jump ahead of God. We decide, this is what I'm going to do, and we're like a bull in a china shop. And we get ahead of Him. And when we do that, we ended up missing out on the blessings God has for us. How many times have we reacted to something? And I mean, we did what we thought we ought to do and we got even or whatever it was, only to realize, man, I missed out on something. Man, there was a blessing here and now it's not going to come my way because of how I acted. Sometimes it costs us even spiritual growth. James says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I don't know if you know the rest of the story. Many of you do. But you know, David got another blessing. You see, when Abigail went home, God dealt with her husband. He became like stone, the Bible says. 10 days later, he died. You know, I found this out. It's a lot better if we let God take care of those things than us. See, David let God take care of it. Now, Nabal's still dead. Just like if David had killed him, right? He's still dead, but David doesn't have to carry the guilt. Not only that, Nabal wouldn't give David a little bit of what he had. David ended up with it all. See, you read the rest of the story, and when Nabal died, Abigail became David's next wife. And David got all that belonged to Nabal. See how God works those things out? Back up, back up, back up, back up. Go back to when David said, I'm going to go get even. I'm going to go kill Nabal. What a tragic thing it would have been if he carried that out. But he let God deal with it. He took some advice. He listened to somebody who gave him good advice. And look what happened. He ended up with everything Nabal had anyway. And Nabal's graveyard dead. It's been said that the more things change, the more they stay the same. What do you mean? Well, we read about David here in those days of old. But just like him, even today, we find that sometimes we're provoked, sometimes we're mistreated. And you know, what we need today is for people to enter an intercessory ministry like Abigail did. You know, we read about a lot of intercessors in the Bible. We read about Moses, how he pled for the children of Israel. Remember, God was going to kill them all. Moses got on his face. Remember Abraham? The angels were going to Sodom. Abraham pled for Lot. Paul pled for his brethren. He said, Paul pled so much for the Jewish people. He said, if I had to die, I'm going to paraphrase, if I have to die and go to hell, I'll pay that price if my brethren can be saved. That's a burden Paul had. We need to ask ourselves, are we interceding for people today? Are we interceding in prayer? Are we interceding when we see them going the wrong direction? Are we interceding when we see them need help? Are we willing to take action? You know, it's easy to say to somebody, I'll pray for you. It's a whole other thing to say, let me help you. Sometimes that help is good advice. You know, when I think about David, now get the picture, he's upset. He's in that passion of I've been treated wrong. And yet he was willing to listen. We need to learn to be willing to listen and willing to work. Intercessors. David's patience in that he didn't react right away. He stalled a little bit. Gave Abigail time to come. Her intercession. Two great lessons for us. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A promise to intercessors. A promise to those who allow God to control their passions. We need to do both. I'm glad David listened. I'm glad we get to see the rest of the story. I'm glad we have a God who just has things in control if we'll just let Him work out His plans and purposes. If we'll not get in the flesh and try to handle everything ourselves. Boy, there are so many blessings we miss out on. Why? I reacted. I did it in the flesh. I didn't seek God's guidance. How about this? I didn't listen to some good godly advice I got. Listen, let's learn to listen to wise counsel. Father,